I was able to talk to Manuel last night for close to an hour, and he said that they're all doing fine, but the government has ordered the closing of all gatherings, everything, churches and everything. But he talked to a nurse in Wewetoka, and she said, you know what? She says, as long as you guys are being careful and washing your hands and not, spreading your own germs too much. He says, I don't see why you can't have a short meeting and continue on that way. So yesterday was well, let me back up. Many of the successes that we had in Mexico, they're all by God's grace, but many of them were as a result of Julie's hard work. And one of those things every year that everyone, men and the teens and everybody alike, looked forward to was Mother's Day. And on the Saturday, our Mother's Day will be next week, but yesterday they had their Mother's Day celebration, or however you want to say it, and they had 60 mothers' daughters come out. And that was very exciting to hear. And they had a real blessed day. They had another missionary wife from just 45 minutes north. Her last name is Thompson, come down, and she had a little lesson for the ladies. So they were they're just a little bit of time, to try to be obedient as possible to the ordinance that's been put on them. And then this morning they were gonna have normal Sunday school. They were gonna cut the church service down by half an hour. And then he was going to see whether or not they should hold another service in the afternoon, because he said there were a couple of the people of the church who weren't feeling too well, and he just wanted to be careful in that aspect. But he said most of the Mexican people think that the government started the thing. And he said the reason is because the Mexican economy had stopped around Mexico City just because of all that's going on. No one was buying anything, no one was being able to sell anything other than food. No one was going to the doctor, no one was buying toys, no one was buying cars, nothing. So I'm just telling you what Manuel told me last night. He thinks that the government started the thing. Who knows? We just heard about conspiracies the other night, so I just thought it was funny that it happened in the same week there. And he told me that the teenagers and the men made all the food for the mother's banquet there. So that was a blessing. Trying to see here. They're getting geared up to. I've jotted a bunch of notes down, so I'm deciphering my little scratchings here. They're getting geared up for the third Thursday of June is when they're planning on having their first meeting at the mission, which is about an hour and few minutes away from the church. They're going to be able to have, they're going to have a building for rent free, but and they have a few. They have seven hymnals, and someone donated the money to purchase several chairs, but they're trying to save money now for Bibles, and they're going to need some more hymnals pretty quick. So anyway, it was exciting to talk to him. There have been so many things going on with the birth of their little one, with another lady in the church gave birth here just a couple weeks ago. Olivia, many of you have heard us or know Olivia. She's due this week. And so lots of things that way. And then with the sickness going on, and then with all these preparations, he said he's just been running around in circles. So you just pray for Manuel and Alma and their two little ones. God's doing a work there. They come across a family last week, I believe he said. Sound like they were already Christians, moved into the area, hadn't been going to church anywhere, and come out and visited. So just pray that God will bless the work there. And one of Manuel's good friends was a missionary in Ghana, Africa. He was home on furlough reporting to some of his churches. Another missionary from Texas, his father passed away, Thompson. I don't know if it was the ones that had to do with the young man that disciplined the kid and got put in jail. Anyways, the pastor of that church passed away, and that was this Adam Thompson's father. So he went back home and is pastoring that church. Well, Manuel, one of his best friends, was this missionary, got called to be the pastor of that church. So now he's just a half an hour, 40 minutes away, and he was real excited about that news too, just to have another friend and encourager right there close by. So lots of blessings taking place. And there's some work involved with the ministry too, but he was just excited about all that God's doing. We're going to turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I talked to Julie just before church, and everything was kind of at a standstill. And isn't that how it is? You get someplace in a hurry, and then nothing happens. But you pray for Katie. She was extremely nervous. She says, "I don't handle pain very well." So Julie's there to be her coach. 1 Corinthians 15. As last week, I was just praying and reading, and actually, I wasn't even reading. I was listening by God's grace and blessings. I purchased an iPod and been listening to that off and on when I'm alone working and so forth. And I was listening to that, and as I was listening to the scriptures, just one of the phrases in verse 58 stuck out, and we're going to see about being steadfast this morning under the given circumstances of our nation and our spiritual lives. Verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Well, if one thing is not certain, you know, as we're looking at everything around us, people are becoming part of a frenzy, whether they're Christians, whether Catholics, it don't matter who you are and what side of the fence you're on, there's a frenzy taking place. You don't believe me? Go try to buy ammunition. There's a frenzy. Now, I am not worried about having ammunition when the time comes, because we have someone who's going to do the battle for us. But there are so many people, and Christians alike, and I have so many people come in the hardware store saying, "You don't have ammunition, do you?" You know, it's like they think that tomorrow a civil war or something's going to break out. But folks, as I was just hearing the scripture last week, this phrase just kind of calmed my heart, in a sense, and it's be steadfast. So we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, it is a beautiful day. The sun is up and bright and warming up the air. And yet, even on a beautiful day like this, there are still so many people struggling, fighting with physical situations. Some are struggling with spiritual situations, others with emotional situations. And so, Father, I pray as we see this beautiful day that we would be reminded of your eternal love and your great gift of eternal life. Oh, Father, I just pray if there be one here today that does not know for sure that heaven is their home, that they would come to you today, Lord, with a repentant heart. And dear Father, I pray for those tracts, for the Bible courses, for the prayers, for everything put into each of these little pieces of literature with your word in it, that you would bless it, Father, that it would fall on a soft heart, and that these people would come to know you as Savior. Lord, as I think of my own life and the struggles, I just ask that you would cleanse my heart and cleanse my mind and help me to be a blessing in your sight this afternoon and this morning. And I pray, God, that you would please use me to be a blessing to these folks. And Lord, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you that it's preserved. We thank you that we can just have the confidence in it, Lord, and not to have to worry and to doubt and wonder. Father, just bless this time now, please, in Jesus' name, amen. There is one thing that we can affirm, no matter where you go, that families all over the place are not standing strong. Everywhere you go, the Bible teaches us to have righteous judgments. And then some people say, well, you know, you shouldn't judge lest ye be judged. And there's this attitude of zeal, but they don't understand God. There is this selfishness that's going around. I mean, you just think about the ammunition thing for a second. No one is thinking of anyone else but their own closet full of ammunition. If they can buy 14 boxes, they're going to buy all 14 boxes. And I was at Walmart, and this has been a couple, 3 weeks ago. Well, it was the Saturday before Charity was born. And I went in there to find something for Julie at the last minute there, and I decided I was going to walk back there by the sporting goods, and the lady said, "I just put a box of ammunition on the shelf. Would you like it?" And I said, well, what caliber is it? And she told me, and I said, well, and it was a super price. I couldn't believe it. And I said, well, sure, I'll take that. And she goes, well, I have this other one here too. And I said, well, I don't have that caliber. And she goes, what about this one? She just wanted to sell ammunition. It was a lady. And she wanted to talk to her son, was a state trooper, and she was saying he's always asking her to get a hold of some ammunition for him and so forth. Well, anyway, so I bought this box of ammunition. There was another one sitting there. She says, you sure you don't want the other one? I said, no, that's fine. We'll leave it for somebody else. But there's this frenzy going on, and no one's thinking about being steadfast. It's every man for himself. Doesn't matter what direction you're running to, but just get out of here. And so I was thinking about this verse, and it just said, be ye steadfast. And he says, to his beloved brethren. Those were some exciting days too. Christ hadn't been gone that long. And so many events had changed in those few days and months and short years. And Paul was encouraging the people there to be steadfast. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, in peace. That verse then, once again, just it's this idea of being calm, being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And if he tells us to run, well, put your running shoes on and get running. You put the dress shoes in the closet and forget about them for a while. But the Holy Spirit of God knows so much more than we can even fathom and understand. And he, by Peter's writing here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said that he hoped that that the brethren would be found in peace, calm, steadfast. So there was a couple of things that came to my mind as I was thinking of these couple phrases here. And one was that we need to be steadfast in prayer. Steadfast in prayer, because when everything around you seems to be running, or there seems to be tragedy all around, it is not natural just to calmly pray, to find a quiet place and pray, to get on your knees and pray when everything around you is just a humming. And yet, as I was thinking about being steadfast, I thought about being steadfast in prayer. I know that my life, that is one thing that I personally struggle with, is taking all of the time that I need to pray. Not because of the kids, not because of work, not because of meetings or what have you, but it's because of all that at once. There's that temptation, I'll do it later. We'll do it on the fly. And yet we don't. Well, I don't. I'm speaking for myself. I don't know about you. But being steadfast in prayer. In Luke 18:1, verse we have by memory, it talks about not fainting. Luke 18:1. Luke 18:1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Thinking of this being steadfast, the first word that came to my mind was being steadfast in prayer. And the very first thing I thought about was my sister-in-law, Anna. Before she went to college, she kept fainting. There was one day she was doing dishes in the kitchen. And the next second, Julie's mom turned around and said, Anna, and she wasn't there. So she was calling around Anna, not frustrated or anything. And then she comes around the corner of the stairs, and there was Anna sprawled out on the floor. She had fainted. There was another day when she was in the restroom, and everybody was calling for Anna, and she was on the floor in the bathroom, passed out. And one thing was very true of that situation. She knew when she was going to do it, but never had time to say, I'm going to faint. She just had a feeling in her stomach, and then she was woke up on the floor. And folks, that is what takes place when we forget to pray. There is a split second when we think, oh, I should have prayed, and then it's too late. We wake up in a spiritual sense, realizing it's too late to pray for that person. They're already dead, or the situation already passed, or there's a multitude of things. Multitude of things. I am reminded of when Julie's cousin was killed in a car accident. Her other cousin, Laura, she was at the house alone when the police came. And to Laura, it was too late to do any praying. It was too late to do any calling. Her brother was already dead. And one thing is true. With all this hecticness that's taking place, we need to be steadfast in prayer. God's still sitting on his throne. He's not running off someplace else to another universe trying to find out what's taking place over there. He's still on the throne for us so that we can pray and seek his face. It's something that's so close to us. You know, I have a pen, and this is kind of a cool pen. It looks like a 30-06 shell that they made into a pen. And it's kind of cool. My kids like that. It's made out of plastic. But, you know, it's something really close, and I always know where it is. It's in one of my suits. It's always right here in one of my suits. But prayer is even closer than that. It's not just in the suit. It's everywhere we go. And it doesn't require a purse of makeup or a toolbox full of tools. It doesn't require any kind of an education from the university or anywhere else. It doesn't require someone being alone or having a multitude of people around them. You can always pray. You can always pray. So we need to be steadfast in prayer. Because not only is it something close to us, it's something sure. When we pray, we know that our God hears us. Well, if we're not guarding iniquity in our heart, as the Bible tells us. But even then, we know. We know in our hearts if our prayer is being heard, because we know in our hearts when the Holy Spirit's saying, you need to take care of something. We know that. The Word of God is so precious. And John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 13. John 14, 13. John 14, 13. The Bible says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We know that the Father wants to glorify the Son. And we know that the Son wants to be glorified the Father through the answers of our prayers. And so there's assurance there that the prayers will be answered. In God's timing, of course, but there's surety there. But you know the blessed thing about prayer is that it can be so secretive. In this aspect, I don't have to tell you all my problems or situations, but I can say, please pray for me. I've got a special request, or I'm going through a tough time. Please pray for me. That keeps your mind away from anything that would be tempting, discouraging, a heavy load, but you're helping in this matter of prayer. And so there's that secret side of prayer in Matthew 6:6 when he talks about going into your closet there. Matthew 6:6. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. I was starting to tell Julie about several things that had taken place in the day, and all of a sudden I thought, you know what, I better just wait to finish this because I don't want the kids to hear part of it and run off and start telling everybody else half of the story. So I said, I'll just tell you later. A couple of the kids said, Dad, what were you talking about? And I said, oh, don't worry about it. And it wasn't 2 seconds, one of the other kids says, oh, come on, Dad, tell us. They wanted to know the secret. It wasn't much of a secret, but it just wasn't the right timing. But the great thing about prayer is that it can be a secret to everybody, and yet we're all helping. We're all helping, bringing this request before the Almighty God. So being steadfast in prayer, that means being alert. It's hard to be alert when you're running and in a frenzy, every man for himself. It's hard to be alert because you're not paying attention to anyone else. I'm reminded of when we were on deputation. We were out in Minnesota, and we were at the Mall of America. And they had this, I forget exactly what it's called, something to do with Snoopy, the amusement park in the center of that thing. And we were walking around, and we had stopped and looking at a ride that had to do with, I think it was a log run with water. And as we were standing there watching it, of course, we had less kids then. Was it John or Matthew? No, I can't remember which one it was. Was it John? John stood there watching, and the rest of us walked off. And all of a sudden, we realized that John wasn't with us. And so, and Anna happened to be with us on that trip. And so Anna went one way, and Julie stayed right where, you know, on the main aisle where she could be seen with the rest of the kids. And I went the other way. We made this big circle, and here come a security guard lady bringing John, and John was crying. And, you know, there was two things that happened. John wasn't paying attention to us, and we weren't paying attention to him. In a sense, it was every man for himself. Find your own way to the hot dog stand. You know what I'm saying? And in the Christian life, we need to make sure that everyone's with us. In our prayer. If I'm just worried about certain families of the church and I'm not praying for everybody in the church, well, I'm being prejudiced. I've got a problem in my own heart. We need to love each other equally in the Lord. I understand that there's that certain friendship that just happens between certain people, but in the Lord, we need to be equal. And so it's the idea of being steadfast in prayer, but also in faith, being steadfast in your faith. And as Uncle Jim was talking this morning about his brother and how that he grew up in a Baptist church, didn't he, as a little kid? And now he's participating in a Catholic church. There's this lack of steadfastness in the faith. In the faith. There's three verses I'd like to look up here. In Colossians 1:11. Colossians 1:11. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. The Bible says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. We can be strengthened with all the might that there is in God to be steadfast in this faith. But it's that personal choice of getting into the Word of God to go forward in it. Not depending on someone else to feed me. This morning, everything was a little bit different because Julie wasn't there. And Caleb just sat in his chair and did not eat. Just sat there. And Philip, he was on the other side there just to gobbling everything down. And I thought, you know, if I go over there and help Caleb, I'm probably going to have to help him tomorrow too. But if I don't help him right now, we're going to get to church and he's going to keep saying, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. And so I decided that I better help him and hope to train him better on a different day when we could just maybe be around with food later on. I don't know. But it is so important as we think of being steadfast in our prayer and in our faith to realize that we can be strengthened through our God if we will go forward. If we will go forward with him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's been fun to hear Corey talk about his Jewish karate class and all the things that they do in there. But this morning, when I was getting ready for church, John was teaching his own class in the house of his own thing, how he could take on two guys with two knives and pretty much rip their arms off, according to John. And it was kind of funny. But you know what takes place there is there's this sense of admiration or interest. They hear about this and then they begin to dream about it a little bit and they come to some conclusions and it's fun, it's exciting, but it makes someone be strong. Well, we can look with that kind of admiration to our God and our Savior, and we can go forward in His strength, realizing that we don't have much. Doesn't take long to know that. Just go out there and do some jumping jacks and then do some push-ups and hold your breath for a minute, and we'll see what happens to you. You'll be passed out on the floor. We're not very strong, but our God is infinitely strong, and He wants us to be in His might. In His power, we can walk strong. As the birth was taking place with Julie, there came a moment when I didn't know what to say. Because of the position of the baby, it was very difficult for Julie, and I could tell that she was at a breaking point in her. And I was thankful for Mrs. Hayden because she just gave one short phrase of encouragement to her, and that made all the difference. Because I wasn't sure if Julie could keep going right at that second, or if she would need to rest. But Mrs. Hayden gave her that little word of confidence, and it helped her to go forward, and then the baby in relief and the joy. And so many times, I think we find ourselves at that same moment. Julie was in no position to say, "Somebody quick, say something nice to me." She wasn't thinking of that route. She was in a difficult situation. And I think we can see our own faith strengthened and steadfast by noting the people around us that are maybe facing something difficult, or maybe they're not. But to give them that word of confidence, being steadfast in our faith enough and having the confidence in the word of God enough to be able to share it with someone else in confidence, knowing that the promise behind it is strong. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, the Bible says here that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And part of being strong and steadfast in the faith is being washed in it. Yesterday, I had a job to do. I had to install a garage door opener in one of the older homes here in, well, a garage in Greenville. And it's normally a 2 hour. In 2 hours, you are done. Tools are taken care of. John and I were together. We had the Bibles, and we were going to be here at 10 o'clock. We thought for sure. And we got there, and it wasn't at all what we were expecting. We had to cut joists, and we had to cut trusses, and it was a mess. And about 2 o'clock, we finally finished. But one thing was sure, when we got home, I needed a shower. I was using the Sawzall, and all that dust and grime from the OSB was falling in your face and in your eyeballs and your hair and down your shirt. Didn't matter what you were doing. I'll be honest, it was the first garage door opener I ever got to put together laying down up in the attic. And so there was all those pokey things all over the place, and you get in the shower. And you can just feel it almost all just fall off. And you can see it go right down the drain, all that sawdust. Well, this morning I gave the little boys a bath. And there's one thing about a bath. Wherever that water level is on down is probably going to be a whole lot cleaner at first than everything above that water line. And so there's this idea of bathing yourself, actually getting that water on top of your head and just letting it cover your entire body. And that's what Ephesians 6 is trying to tell us here about the armor of God, how we need it from head to toe and from our hands, with this hand maybe with a shield, or if you're left-handed, and the other hand with a sword. It's having every point of that body that's going forward covered and protected. And that's what we need so that our faith will be strong and steadfast. We have to be washed in the Word. And that's a continual process. Continual process. But it's not only bathing yourself in that, but I believe it's also breathing it, the meditation of the Word of God. One thing that was very, very, very helpful to Julie and keeping her composure and everything through the birth, and that was breathing correctly. If she could stay focused on the breathing, it seemed like everything else was coming easier to her. And if we could just stay focused on breathing in this Word of God and breathing out this Word of God, it would help us to stay focused. Focused on what's important. We see the psalmist writes this all the time. In Psalms 1, verse 2, Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Meditating is just hashing it over. It's thinking about it. It's looking at it from every single angle as if it was breathing it in and breathing it out. In Psalms 119, the Bible says here in verse 48, Psalms 119, verse 48, it says here, Psalms 119, 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And so we see in verse 48, it's talking about those precepts, those statutes. And so if I'm breathing them in, breathing them out, meditating on them day and night, what's then result? I'm going to get understanding. I'm going to get understanding of why everybody else is in a frenzy and why I do not need to be. I can be at peace. I can be steadfast. I can be calm, even though all of these other people are. Why? Because they don't have the hope that I have. Now, praise the Lord, I can share it with them. But I'm glad I don't have their hope because it's about worthless. Through the Word of God, we can cleanse our minds, but we can also fill our minds. We can cleanse our hearts, and we can fill our hearts. And we can cleanse our lives and fill our lives with productive thoughts and motives and desires and actions. To some, this would be brainwashing. Oh, that's just a crutch that you need. You're just trying to brainwash the people. But to us who know the Word of God is true, it's renewing, it's refreshing to us. I was just thinking this morning. It used to be that I would drink a lot of pop, whether it be at work or maybe I'd be just going to get gas and I would get a root beer or something, probably Dr. Pepper. But I would get something, and I'm just thinking about this morning, you know, I haven't done that in a while. I'm not interested in the taste. I don't crave the carbonation like maybe I once did. And I was just thinking how this week, lemonade and water has tasted awful good. And after time of being away from that frenzy, there is just a sense of feeling satisfied. And I see in some of us as Christians that there is a certain worry, a certain wonder that is about us, and I'm wondering if we're paying too much attention to the news, to two fat guys on the radio. I was thinking in my own life, in my own day-to-day scenario. Those guys, when they are sitting there receiving calls, they are, in a sense, giving hope to the people who are listening to them. But in that same instant, those same two men, and others, and all of them, so often take the name of God in vain. And so what kind of a hope are they even giving people in the first place? So how about we just turn them off for 2 to 4 weeks, and I'll bet you turn it on in a month, and it's going to be the same situation. The same headlines, the same lingo. The same let not your heart be troubled, okay? It's going to be the same story. But in the Word of God, even though it is the same story, it's a different hope. Because this hope is an everlasting hope. This hope is sure. This hope doesn't depend on two guys that are going to take off for the weekend and be someplace else and be drinking champagne all week. This depends on the holy, holy Word of God. I've heard so many people call into those guys and say, I need you to give me hope. Haven't we all, everybody's listened to these people, and they say this all the time. Our hope doesn't come from them. It could never come from them. But please turn with me to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. We don't need to listen to these guys so that we can have hope in our country. We just need to pray and be steadfast in our faith to our God who can change this country. In Psalm 16, there's another passage of scripture I thought was pretty good that made me just be more at peace. In Psalm 16, verse 8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. See, what happens is we hear all of the negativity and all of the hopelessness that these guys really give, and we think, oh no, woe is us. What can we do? China's going to be here tomorrow with all their arsenal. Forgetting all about our God. And we're just thinking about what Hannity said last night, or Rush said yesterday afternoon, or what Sean Hannity said last night at 9 o'clock on some channel. It doesn't matter what they say. Hope is in God, not in political analyzers. Psalms 42, verse 11. Psalms 42, verse 11. The Bible says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Because you listen to too many other people that don't know what's going on. And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. I have seen people with sad countenances because of listening to too much news. And I'll tell you something. I'll be honest. When I come to church, I don't care to hear nothing about Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh. I don't care to hear what they said. I didn't come to church to talk about politics. That's about like never in our church do I remember too much of people standing after church in the foyer talking about the games on Saturday. Never. That's been a blessing. It truly has been. But we need to be consistent, and we need to understand that Christ is our hope, not political analyzers. Which, and so we get our, we're steadfast in prayer, we're steadfast in faith, that helps us to be steadfast in life, which is the end goal. Not to be hasty. Time's running out here, so I'm going to go quickly here. But we should not be hasty, but steadfast, because being hasty brings many snares. And Proverbs 7:23 talks about that the bird hasteth to the snare. They don't know it's there. They're just flying around looking for their nectar, whatever they're looking for, and bam, they're in the net because their eyes don't have a chance to focus on these little wires or this little rope that's just waiting for them. They were hasted. They were hasting to that snare. Being hasty in our life will bring also someone to poverty. I heard recently that someone had won the lottery some time back, and within just a couple of years, they went bankrupt. They were hasty in every single purchase that they made. And all this hastiness brings sin. It brings sin in Proverbs 19:2. We're not too far. Let's go to that passage right there. In Proverbs 19:2, it says, also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. We don't need to be hasty because our God isn't saying, hurry, 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 get in the line or they're going to buy the last one. Hurry up! Our God's not telling us to do that. If God wants us to have it, it'll still be there tomorrow or whenever we need it. But being steadfast in our life is not being lazy. It's not running and hasting, but it isn't just sitting still doing nothing either. Because we find that being lazy brings debt and servitude. Proverbs 12:24. In Proverbs 26:13, it brings fear and superstition. The lazy says, oh, wait a minute, we can't do that. There's a lion out there. But it also makes a person an unfaithful steward. A lazy person makes an unfaithful steward. Please go with me to Matthew 25:26. Matthew 25:26. Matthew 25:26. The Bible says, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, slothful being lazy, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather what I have not strawed. He was an unfaithful steward because he was lazy. So, folks, we need to be steadfast in prayer and steadfast in our faith, the confidence in the Word of God, so that we can have a steadfast life. Not running with this frenzy, but not a couch potato. Being steadfast in the will of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. And I thank you, Father, how that so many days I can just see and feel your working in my heart. And, oh, Lord, I just pray that you would help me not to understand just with my mind, but with my whole being, soul, and might, that I would please you in everything that's said and done. And understanding, Lord, that there is still sin in this sinful nature. But, God, I pray that as we are all here gathered together, Lord, with this attitude of prayer and with praise and singing to your name and hearing your word, oh, God, that this week we would be renewed. We would be cleansed through your word, that we'd be sanctified through your word, that we would be pleasing in your sight, not participating in the frenzy of this world, but being that steadfast, anchored lighthouse so that others would see there is something different. There is a sure hope that abides. Oh, God, bless this afternoon, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.